Hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Father, we thank you tonight for this word. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. I look to you, greater one. The greater one, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I look to you tonight for the anointing to deliver this word and deliver it accurately in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That insights and ideas and concepts concerning this name and its greatness and its power be released in this place tonight. And we thank you for it. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to come down there where I can talk to you. Get down here where I can step on your toes and all kinds of good things. Praise the name of Jesus. The greatness of a name. There are great names because of human achievement. There are great military names that still ring in the hearts and minds of men. Great financial names. Anybody can mention John Rockefeller. And still, I mean, even after these many years, people still know who John D. Rockefeller was because of the achievements. And great military leaders. I'm thinking about, praise God, a name. I say this name, and you tell me what comes to mind. Allenby. Oh, yeah. One of my heroes of all time, praise God. And the mighty horseman. Ha! My goosebumps are double parked, brother. Right now. Glory to God. At the mention of a name. Amen. And those of you here that don't know who Allenby was or is, go wait in the car. Amen. No, don't leave. That'll be all right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We will read from three different passages, which will be our golden texts in this study. In Hebrews chapter 1, and then in Philippians chapter 2, then we will go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be talking about how did Jesus obtain the greatness of his name? Amen. Through great achievement. Yes. Through inheritance. Yes. And through great combat and conquest. Yes. I get excited just thinking about it. Glory to God. He said in Revelation, the very first chapter, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive. And I have the keys of death and hell. Yeah, where'd he get them? He took them. That's how he got them. Yeah, and I'm way ahead of myself, but I can't help it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's go to the book of Hebrews first. The first chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And let's begin reading with the 9th verse. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things. One translation said beings. Or you could say, and since we're talking about names, you could say names. Beings, or the names of beings in heaven. Names of beings in earth. And names of beings under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And we'll begin reading with the 16th verse. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just above, far above, say it with me, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and every name that is named. I want this to impact your heart, impact your spirit. Every name that is named. I don't care what name it is. Amen. This is very important to you as a believer. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, hallelujah. I've preached less than 10 minutes, and I'm already full of joy. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Ha, 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 ha. Glory be to God. So let's talk about the fact that Jesus inherited his name. Now, how did he inherit that name? He certainly did not inherit anything from God when he was born in Bethlehem. He already had it all. Amen. You remember the scripture said he was manifested in the flesh? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God, all things created for and by him. And the Word became flesh. Oh, there's one translation said, and the Word took upon himself flesh. I gotta love that, you know. Yeah, but he always was. He just came as a very man. Amen. Hallelujah. So how did he inherit his name? Go back to the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. This is the centerpiece of the gospel. And it is, in most cases, grossly misunderstood. Lack of knowledge concerning it. Go back to that fourth verse again, being much made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, and saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Again, look at it. Again, I will be to him a father. You mean there was a time he was not? Oh, absolutely. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The problem with 99% of Christian people and 100% of the world, as they don't know Jesus died. Oh, they know his body died. The Bible is a spiritual book. Anytime it talks about natural stuff, it'll let you know. Amen. It will let you know it's talking about the flesh. The Bible is a book that reveals spiritual death, Spiritual death is separation from God. Amen. Now here's what's unique about a spirit being. Once a spirit being is released into this earth, it will never, ever, 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 ever cease to be. It will continue to exist and exist and exist and exist and exist and exist throughout eternity. A spirit can never stop being. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul.
Come on.
Isn't, you know, when I first became a Christian, I was a scriptural illiterate, and I was raised in church. It wasn't my mom and dad's fault I turned out like I did, but anyway, they tried, you know. But anyway, I tried my best to go to hell. My mother wouldn't let me. But anyway, I really did. I worked at it, brother. But I thought the spirit and the soul were the same thing. And then, but see, I didn't have any religion to unlearn. I was born free. And so I didn't have a lot of things to unlearn. I started out in a good place. With my father in the faith being Oral Roberts. And the anointing of this ministry came on me and in me the first time he laid hands on me in 1966. So then very shortly after I became a student at Oral Roberts University, Gloria said I was the oldest freshman in the world. I guess I was 30 years old. Anyway, I was introduced to the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin. And it's very simple, really, when you read the Bible. And not just traditional thought and ideas. That 1 Thessalonians 5:23, for instance. That you may be made whole. W-H-O-L-E. Spirit. And soul and body. Then in the book of Hebrews, that the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul, the spirit, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Amen. So you are a spirit and you have an intellectual part of you which is called your soul, and it's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. The intellectual part of you that contacts the intellectual part of this world. And you and your mind and your will and your emotions live inside this body. Amen. The body is the earth suit. If you go into space, you have to have a space suit. If you live on this earth, you have to have an earth suit because you can't live here without it. And if something happens to your earth suit, you're gone. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah, amen. Yes, or in the case of Lazarus and the rich guy, you know, the bad rich guy. Lazarus was carried into the bosom of Abraham or into paradise, and it wasn't because he was poor. It was because he was a believer. Amen. Amen. The rich guy went into hell. And it wasn't because he was rich. It's because he wasn't a believer.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Come on. Now, isn't it amazing that his memory was still intact? And his brain is upstairs someplace in a hole in the ground. But Abraham said, son, remember? So the spirit man, the intellectual man, uses the brain as the go-between between the spirit and the mind. Amen. And you step out of that body, you still have your memory. You still think. You just don't have to use a brain with which to do it. Which makes you a lot smarter than you were when you were in your body. Amen. Now, it's very important to understand the makeup. The human being is an integrated system. A three-part integrated system. And then in the computer age, we understand what integrated systems are. I don't understand much how to use them. My grandkids are great at it, but anyway. But I do understand that they function. Now, I said all of that because it is so vitally important to understand where we're going with this. Under which of the angels said he at any time? None of them. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I have begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father and be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn as a good shouting spot right there. Why? Because we're joint heir with him. Firstborn status. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, glory to God. And it's the firstborn that gets all the good stuff.
My name's Joshua Pello, and I'm from Brisbane, Australia. I'd been in lay ministry for around about a decade, and, preaching on the weekend, youth pastoring, but I was also in business. And when I was in business, the Lord actually asked me to close the business down and to actually go to full-time Bible college. And so we did, knowing full well that it would mean we personally would be $150,000 in debt. But we just stepped out in obedience. And then by the end of that first year in Bible college, we had already become debt-free. There were multiple miracles that, within such a short period of time, ended up us, becoming debt-free. And that included our cars as well, credit cards, everything. Like, we owned our cars, we paid off all our credit cards. And, we were living 100%, in the black. In that same season, I just listened to every single Kenneth Copeland podcast I could get my hands on. Like, I churned through hours and hours and hours of podcasts and teaching. And also the book, The Blessing of the Lord Maketh Rich. I went through it cover to cover, and it was, I think it was a process of saturation. I don't think I could pinpoint a moment, but I think it was saturation, not only in the resource, but saturation in the Word of God too, and understanding that, hey, you know what, this is for real. This is in the Bible. Like, how come no one's ever told me about this before? Like, I'd been walking with God a long time. I grew up in church. I was born in church, And it was only until I was in my late 20s that I realized that, hey, I've got the victory through Jesus Christ. And so I was able to get teaching into my life that not only fed me, but also fed my wife and fed our family. And for me as a husband and a father, that means a lot that I can get that spiritual leadership and teaching and growth and vitality into my family. That's the first thing that Kenneth Copeland Ministries partnership means to me. But It also means that I get to play a part in actually bringing that news and bringing that victory to others right around the world. You know, as much as the ministry has impacted my life, I want to make sure it impacts other people's life as well. I want to make sure that it reaches every single facet of the globe that we possibly can, with pastoring and with ministry and with where we live and our church and our team and our family. I cannot wait to get up in the morning. Like, you know, I just, like, sleep is an interruption to me. Like, I just want to get going each day, just because every day is an adventure in God. Every day is just full of His joy and abundance. And now when you walk in faith, you learn that actually victory is the ordinary existence of the believer. That's the norm. You know, victory is an everyday occurrence. It's not the highs and lows that, you know, I used to experience. You know, victory is my everyday existence, and what I get to do now is bring that victory and tell about that victory and share that victory, show others the victory. And that's why I love every single day. And it's purely because of the joy of God in my heart and the victory of Jesus Christ in my everyday life.
Jesus took on Himself all of the curse so that we could have all of the blessing. Thank God He paid the full price so that everything He has, we have. We just have to receive it by faith. Listen, Jesus is not sick. He's not broken. He's not defeated. In fact, He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's seated there in victory. And so are you. That's what the Bible says. And if there's any area of your life that doesn't yet look like that victorious Jesus, then what you need to do is find out what the Word says about it and then believe God for it. And we want to help you grow in your understanding of the authority that you have in and through Jesus. We want to send this to you totally free. It's called The Power of the Name of Jesus. This package is powerful. Jesus, the name above every name, that comes on a 10 CD set, or you can have the MP3. And along with that, we're going to send you the study guide as well. And what you need to know is that God has made us a part of His family. And with all of that, His power is backing us when we apply the name of Jesus to the situation that we're walking through according to the promises of God. So if you want to get a hold of these things, just call us or go to kcm.org and order your free package today. Then we invite you to join us again next week right here on the broadcast as we learn about the weapon that we have in the name of Jesus. Until then, remember this: God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Go to kcm.org to receive free faith-based teaching resources, such as a copy of today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Request it on DVD, CD, or download it straight to your computer or mobile device. Continue to grow in your faith in God and live in the wisdom of His Word. Believe God to bring new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life.